Good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see you. Thank you for being here. I want to welcome our Springboro campus and Northmont campus, Beaver Creek Classics, Centerville, all of you here in Centerville, and those of you that are online joining us wherever you're at. Thank you for being and joining us in worship. It's so awesome to be able to come together as a church family and worship together and then look at God's word and then start our week as we learn from God and hear what he has to say to us. So thank you so much for being here. I also want to say congratulations to all the graduates. It's a big, big deal. For us as a church family and for our families. And so congratulations to you graduating seniors. That's awesome. As you take your next right step in your life, we celebrate you and all that you're going to be doing. So grab your Bibles as we are in a series entitled Ephesians. If you're a guest with us, we started this series before Easter, actually. And before Easter, we looked at the first three chapters of this little letter called Ephesians, which is a letter written to the Ephesian church. And in the first three chapters, it talks about what does a relationship with God really look like? And what did God do in order to accomplish all that we need in our lives? And how amazing is he? We call it the gospel or the good news. And then we get to chapter 4, and that was after Easter. And chapter 4 starts out and says that you and I need to live a life that's that in a manner that's worthy. You and I need to live in a manner that's worthy, meaning that we need to live in a way that really exhibits all that God is in our life. And the fact that if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, that ought to play out in your life. That ought to be seen in all that you do and all that you say, particularly in your relationships. And then we get to chapter 5 as we flip the page to chapter 5 a couple of weeks ago. And the beginning of chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, be imitators of God. That you and I ought to imitate God in our daily lives and in our daily relationships and all that we do. People ought to, need to see Jesus coming out in our actions and in our attitudes, again, specifically in our relationships. And here's what's important for you to see in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, as beloved children. He says that because of what we're going to be talking about today as we turn the page again to chapter 6, the final chapter, probably the chapter that is really the chapter that has so much in it. So don't miss these next couple of weeks as we finish up in chapter 6. There's so many things that are here. And he says to us that we are children and we need to understand that we, in fact, need to love children. And so children is part of the subject that we're going to be talking about today. He says, therefore, be imitators of God. So the first challenge for us today is that as you leave today and any one of our campuses or online, that you and I would think about what our life is like and our relationships so that this week we would imitate God in all that we do and all we say. And if you have kids, you know that your kids, as I've mentioned in this series already, that they imitate you, and it's also wonderful that they do, but it's also frightening. Am I right, parents? I mean, it's frightening. Last weekend, my youngest son got married, and I had the opportunity to officiate the wedding. And I don't know if you can ever imagine officiating one of your kids getting married, or if you thinking about kids. And so I'm standing there, right, with the couple standing right here, my son right here, and Kirstie, our daughter-in-law now, calls me dad. And so they're standing there, and I'm looking at him, and he's this big, strapping young man. He started his career, he graduated college, and was a golfer at college. And I'm looking at him, and I still see when he was 3 years of age. I still see, the things that he did when he was little and how he got into mischief and all kinds of things. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking to myself, he should not be getting married right now. I mean, I know him so well, and it's just amazing. And yet I'm so happy for them. And we had some pictures, as you would imagine, you would do it at a wedding. And we had pictures before the ceremony. And then we had pictures after the ceremony. And we did most of the family ones before, or many of them anyway. And so we were doing that. My wife and I were together with our son. And then all of a sudden, the photographer says, Dad, we need you to come up. So I walked up. And he said, Brent, you need to come up. And so it was, I guess it was a father-son picture that we were going to take. But he said, here, put your hands out. I thought that was a little weird, because typically, isn't it that the couples that put their hands out, and they have the rings together and all that? And so he said, put your hands out. And so I did. I didn't know this was going to happen. And he took a picture, and I want you to notice that I have these bracelets on my arm that I've had for years and years. You may have noticed it. I don't know. I think somebody gave them to me. I think it was a gift. I know one of them was given to me by a family member. And I've had this bracelet for years and years. And my son has the exact same bracelet on his wrist. And he wanted a picture of the two of our hands like this because he wanted to remind himself that he was imitating his father. Now, that, again, that was quite frightening for me because I'm wondering what else he's imitating in my life. But what a moment for us, you know. And God says here, through Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, be imitators of God as beloved children. And then we turn to chapter 6. So grab your Bibles, your devices, power them up. We got a lot to cover today. We're going to talk about three different subjects that we find in Ephesians chapter 6 as we turn the page. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at four verses today. We're going to spend the first three quarters of our time together today on the first three verses and then the last quarter on the last verse. Verses that you probably have heard before, verses that as you read them, you're thinking to yourself, wow, this is a pretty interesting layout for children and for parents and for fathers specifically. I need to tell you right up front as I start reading this, and we're going to read it together. I'm going to read it for you. Hope you have your Bibles open. This is not Paul giving us a manual on parenting. If it were, it would not be four verses long. It would be 104 verses long, right? So if you want a manual on parenting, you probably ought to read Proverbs. This is not a manual for children either. You ought to read the Proverbs as well. If you're a kid here today, you know, and a dependent in your home, and if you're a father, this is not necessarily a resume for you dads. It's a lesson for us to learn that he is saying something here about the fact that if you're going to imitate God in your life, the home matters. That's really what he's driving at here, although there's principles here that we should learn today. So let's take a look. Let me read it for you. Ephesians chapter 6, he says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise." In fact, that's true. If you go back to Exodus chapter 20, if you want to write that in your Bibles, verse 12, it's the fifth commandment of 12 of the 10 commandments. It's number 5, and it's the first commandment that has a promise. So it's the first command. Verse 3, "that it may go well with you," if you obey and honor your mother and father, "that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So right away, you're probably catching it that we're going to be talking to children for a few minutes. We're going to be talking to parents for a few minutes. We're going to be talking to fathers for a few minutes. Now, you might be thinking, if you're not a child and you're not a parent and you're not a father, you're probably thinking, I could have skipped today. And here's what you need to know. Paul is not only talking to children and parents and fathers, but he's actually layering on top of it that if you're a follower of Jesus, you are a child of God. Amen. And these principles will work for you as well as for children. That if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to realize that you probably have spiritual parents in your life. And hopefully, as you make yourself a part of Fairhaven Church, we don't want you just to attend, we want you to belong, that you then become spiritual parents for someone within our church family. That's really what is going on here. And then the last one is fathers, because what Paul is saying here is that we have a heavenly father that is perfect in being a father, and that ought to be reflected in our human father lives. And so you don't have to be a child here today. You don't have to be a parent, or you don't have to be a father. This is for you. And so it's really important for you to know that. First thing I'm going to say about children is that what Paul uses the word children here, he's talking about people who are living in a home and under the dependence of a parent. So it could be, 16, 18, 20, or it seems like today they kind of rebound and come back at 30. Have you noticed that? So if you're living at home and you're dependent on your parents, this is for you. It's no judgment on you. This is just as for you. And so it's important that you catch that. I love the fact that my son got married because now he's off the payroll. Sure. And so that's a good thing for us. All right. So some of you are like, really? Yeah, I don't know about that. All right, so here we go. We're going to talk to children first, but before we do that, let me just tell you that these four verses that we read here really are about imitating God, which is starting by our homes. If you miss everything else today, don't miss this. What Paul is saying here is that we need to imitate God, and that starts in our homes. Paul last week mentioned our marriages, did a super job. If you missed it, I really encourage you to go back and watch it and listen. He laid out what mutual submission, he did a fabulous job there. And so marriages, but then he gets into families, children, parents, and fathers. And so we imitate God by starting in our family. Second thing I would say before we jump in with the children is this, that when we talk about family, we're not just talking about married couples who have kids, you know, or grandkids. We're talking about everyone. If you're single here in any one of our campuses, you're a family. And we at Fairhaven Church here consider you a family. And so let me just tell you that God's blueprint of family means that we live and we learn and we model who Jesus is. So if you're a single, that ought to happen in your home. Because your home ought to be, you ought to be learning about who Jesus is, living out what that means, and modeling that to the people around you, your friends, and so forth and so on. If you have a marriage, this also relates to you. If you have kids, this certainly relates to you. If you're a grandparent, this obviously relates to you because God's blueprint is the family. In fact, that's why it's important for us to come together as a church, because that way then we bring together singles and marrieds and marrieds with no children and marrieds with children and marrieds that have many children and grandparents. We come together and we are then the family of God. Are you with me? And so this is really important for all of us because this is God's blueprint. In fact, I would suggest that a lot that you and I see going wrong today in our culture all around us is because the family blueprint isn't being used properly. That as we see what God desires to happen in the home, it's not just about having kids and raising kids or getting married. It's about understanding that that is the laboratory. The home is the blueprint for us. And so with that backdrop, I want to talk to children, which means that if you're dependent on your parents, this is for you. And if you're a child of God, this is for you. And we'll talk to parents, and then we're going to talk to fathers for just a few minutes, okay? That's where we're going today. Let me start with children. This is what it says. Let's read it again. You may want to underline a few words here that relate to you as a child of God or relate to you if you are in your home dependent on your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You may want to underline the word obey and right. Honor your father and your mother. You may want to underline the word honor. This is the first command with a promise. What is that promise? Here it is, verse 3. That it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, right away, there's a couple of implications before we learn some principles for us children and for those of you that are living in a home dependent on your parents. A couple of implications here. I want to remind you that this book that we're studying, the book of Ephesians, is really a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Ephesus. It was a massive church, a great church, who did so many amazing things, and in about 50 years after it started, it lost its first love. We find that in Revelation, actually. And boy, I don't want that to happen to us. Am I right, church? We do not want that to happen to us as a church, and so we want to make sure we get this right. So here's what happened. What would take place is that they would read this letter, Ephesians, they would read it out loud. And so they would get to the church, and Paul said, read this letter out loud. So he's instructing, and they read the letter out loud, and not only there at Ephesus, but the surrounding churches in the area, kind of like multi-site campuses, like we have campuses in Beaver Creek and Springboro and Northmont and Classics and right here at Centerville. They would read this out loud. So let's look at it again. It says, children, obey your parents, honor your parents. Here's implication number one. The children are actually actively present in the church. The kids are part of the church family. They're not just in the way. They're not just something that we bring them and sort of put them into a class and, you know, so that you can have your own worship time. They're actively part and present in the church family. It's really, really important that we see that. That's why here at Fairhaven, we spend a ton of generous giving that you give to reach and help our kids so that they know who Jesus Christ is. We want you to know that if you're single and don't have kids, or if you're married, don't have kids, or if you don't have kids at all. See, the implication here is that children are active and present in the church. Here's the second implication, that children are to be taught, not just watched. In other words, when you put your kid in, parents, you need to know right up front that we have a plan for your kids. We're not just gonna babysit them. We're not just gonna have fun with them. We have fun because that gets their attention, but we wanna introduce them to Jesus. As a matter of fact, we have resources all over the internet so that if your kid doesn't make it into the kids' area, or you miss a Sunday, or you miss a weekend, we have resources on our website so that and our app so that you as a parent can connect with what we're teaching your children. It's really important. We're not babysitting your kids. Even when it comes down to infants, we sing songs to them. Preschoolers, we teach them simple things that are important for them to know about Jesus. Is that okay with you, church? That's what we're doing here, and so that's an implication that I believe that Paul has here as he starts out talking to children. Here's a third implication, that children need to be protected, they need to be loved, and they need to be valued. Now, I don't think that's any surprise to anybody, because I think that's something that we do even today, 21 centuries later, that we love our children, we want to protect them. That's why we have cameras, that's why we have security, that's why we have people who are in classrooms, and we want to protect your child, and we want to protect and love and value. The truth of the matter is, if you're here and you're a child of God, as a church, we want to protect you as a child of God. We want to love you. We want to value you, help you to discover who you are in Jesus so that you can live that out. Those are the implications that are there. In fact, let me say this kind of as a side note. If you're here today and you're a family that has fostered or adopted children, we celebrate you. Here's why. Because Christians, followers of Jesus, ought to be the first ones in line to do that. Because we protect and we value and we love children. And so if you're thinking about doing that, we celebrate you. I don't know what's happening in your life. Maybe it's hard for you to have children, and that's been a pain point for you, but I want you to know that if you're thinking of fostering or adopting, we celebrate you because the church, we ought to be the ones that are first in line to do that, because that's the implication here about children. Now, there's two instructions that we see here, and so let me give you the instructions. This works for you if you're a child of God, or if you're a child or a children, meaning that you're dependent on your parents. The first is this, it's found in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. First instruction that Paul gives is to obey. I don't think that's any surprise to anybody, but let's talk about obedience for a little bit. Obedience is an outward behavior toward some boundary. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You give boundaries to your kids, and you should give boundaries to your kids. And here at church, we support you as families in what you're trying to do with your kids. But obedience is really important. Obedience is an act of worship, isn't it? If you're a child of God and you act in obedience, that's an act of worship for you, that you obey what God wants you to do. You obey what your parents are saying to you. And the problem with the word obedience is this. Think about this with me. The problem with the word obedience is that oftentimes when we think of obedience, it means that we're chasing the word no. No. We want you to obey that. I want to flip that around and completely just turn it inside out, if I can, for just a minute. I think that obedience has a better definition. And here's what I would say about obedience. I think obedience is moving toward yes. Yes, that's God's plan for me. Yes, that's how relationships should work. Yes, that's the right attitude in my life. Yes, that's how I should treat my siblings. Yes, that's how I should treat other church members who I disagree with on different issues. Yes, it's moving towards yes rather than all about the no. Kathy and I, when we were first married, we got some advice from a senior adult in our lives, mentors of ours, who said this, that one of the best things you could do as a parent is to say yes as much as possible. Now, I'll be honest with you, when they first said it, I'm thinking, yeah. I mean, come on, right? I mean, if you say yes all the time, I mean, you're gonna have chaos in your house. But that's not what they meant. And it took me a long time to really get my head and my life and my parenting around this. And what I think they meant is this, that we need to help our children, and as children of God, obedience is moving toward the yes. That's why we should say yes as much as possible. There's a second thing that we need to look at, but before we leave obedience, I love what John Piper says. Take a screenshot of this, or it's in your notes if you wanna look at it. John Piper says this: a Christian is a great doer, not a great don't-er. I love that. That's moving towards yes. And that's what obedience is. Here's the second instruction that we get for children, and that's to honor. Obedience and honor. Honor is a little bit harder to understand because it's internal. Honor is an internal behavior towards boundaries that we have, meaning that you honor by an attitude. You honor by love. You honor by making a commitment and saying, if you're going to really be obedient to God or obedient to your parents, it's a commitment that you make. I want to be obedient. I want to honor them. Honor really means to give weight to something. So if you give weight to God in your life or you give weight to your parents, that's what the word honor means. As a parent, you know, Kathy and I, we raised four sons, still raising four sons in some ways. It's amazing to have adult children. But I remember when they were little, you know, and I would say, or my wife would say, or one of us would say, boys, you need to go make your bed. And so then they would go make their bed, but they would go make their bed. They would go in their rooms and they would make their bed. They would put their pillows on there and they would make their bed. I mean, they did the obedience part. They got that one right, right? But the honor part was long gone, right? I mean, the attitude was out the window. And in fact, you know, we have a great example all through the New Testament. The Pharisees. That's why Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said, you whitewashed tombstones. In other words, you look so good on the outside because you got the obedience thing down, but you've missed the honor part. You've missed the right attitude and the love and the commitment part. You know what I find really interesting? Move in, church. Lean in just a little bit. I find it really interesting that as we've gone through COVID, I think we've lost people along the way because I think people, they remember the obedience part, but they forgot the honor part, and that's dropped off. And so you see, as children, whether you're in your home or whether you're a child of God, there's obedience and there's honor that's there. Now, Paul tells them why. So let's take a look. Why should you obey and why should you honor? It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, what do your Bible say, church? Right. Okay, for this is right. Honor your mother and father. This is the command with a promise that it may go well with you. Now look at your Bibles there, and I want you to underline the word with. It doesn't say that it may go well for you. Because a lot of times people look at this and they say, well, if you obey and you honor, it's about prosperity and it's about having a long life. That's not at all what Paul is saying. He doesn't say here that it may go well for you. He says that it may go well with you. That's going to come to be important in just a second here. And then he says that you may live long in the land. And so Paul gives us three reasons why we should obey and why we should honor, whether you're a child in a home or whether you're a child of God. First is this: it's right. It's the divine order of things. I mean, we need authority in our lives to help us and to guide us. And so God wants to be that authority. We say that if you're a follower of Jesus, that God is in control. He's in control of your life. He's in the driver's seat. We have all these different metaphors, you know, that talk about our relationship with God. It's the right thing. It's the right divine order of things. I would submit to you that the world is not following the natural order of things. That's why we see so much brokenness all around us. And so Paul is saying, listen, child of God or a child in a home, obey and honor because it's the right thing. It's the natural divine order of things. Secondly, so that you, catch this, you may go well with you. Maybe another way of saying that is you'll be more settled. You'll be settled in your heart. If you're a teenager and you're struggling with your parents, I get it. I told my sons when they were about 11 or 12, I said, there's going to come a day where you're gonna think I'm stupid. And I still remember almost to the day when every one of them looked at me and they were, you know, I said something and they gave me that look and I go, oh, you think I'm stupid. What's great about having adult kids is they come back around and all of a sudden I become smart again. It's amazing. They're calling me for advice, like, really, I'm smart again. That's amazing how that happens, you know, in life. And so what you understand here is that if you obey and you honor God as a child of God, it's going to be, you'll be okay with you. You'll be settled. You may go well with you. That's what he says here. Doesn't mean that you'll have more in your life necessarily. God blesses, of course. Then thirdly, here's why. Because of the promise of God's presence. It's not about long life. In fact, it says live long in the land. Paul was referring to the fact that the Israelites were given the promised land, and as they went into the promised land, God went with them. The presence of God went with them. And when you and I obey, and when we honor, the promise of God's presence is right there for us. That's part of the reason why we're settled in life, and it's the right thing. Children, two instructions, obey and honor. Parents, let's read it again, because in here you'll see that some things jump out and there's some implications here for us too. Parents, children, obey your parents. It doesn't say there, obey your Sunday school teacher. Parents, you're far more important than the church. The church's job is to come alongside you. We want to assist you and help you and guide and walk with you, and we need people in our kids' lives. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I want other people to be involved in my kids' lives because that's so important? Anybody want to raise their hand with me, right, in all of our campuses? We need that, and so that's so important. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first command, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. There's a couple of implications. Now stay with me here, because the first implication is going to be a little bit of a shock. Implication number one of what Paul is saying here, parents, a father and a mother is the design for kids. God's design for a family is to have a father and a mother. That's exactly why he says, honor your father and your mother. And right away, some of you are leaning toward, oh, I know a single mom in this church. Ouch. I know a single dad in this church. I've got a single mom who's a sister. And my heart grieves for her because I see how hard it is. And so if you're here as a single parent, wow, we love you. We want to support you. We want to come alongside you. We recognize that there are fatherless homes, that there are motherless homes. There are parents that are uninvolved and emotionally uninvolved or unavailable or just not there. So here comes the second implication really quickly. Catch this. The church needs to make up the difference. That's why we're called the church. We need to make up the difference. And so if you know a single parent in our church family, you need to come alongside them. Buy them diapers this week if you know that they need that. Or help them in some way because it's hard for them. Doesn't mean that marriages, mom and dads are not hard. It just means that the church makes up the difference. That's why we have a kids ministry, because we want to teach your kids. Let me just give you a shameless plug here for a second. The reason why we have people serving in our kids ministry is not because, we need kids, parents to help our kids. It's because we want people to mentor our children. And so if you've ever had a thought to yourself, you know what, I should probably be involved in kids because I love kids, or students for that matter. We want you to get involved, not because we need people, but because this is the opportunity for us to be spiritual parents in the life of moms and dads and kids, mentors, and to be friends and to be connected. If you're here today in any one of our campuses or in classics and you're above 60 years of age, you're probably thinking, you know what, I'm past that stage. I've been there, you know, I've done that. You may have taught for years, which we're so grateful for that, but I would tell you that you still have a lot to give. And we want to challenge you to be involved in a student, mentor. If you're 60, mentor somebody who's 40. If you're 40, mentor somebody who's 20. That's what the church is about, because the implications here is the family, and the church is the family that makes up the difference for things that are difficult. Parents, there's a few instructions for us that are right here embedded in these words. Can I give them to you? There are four of them that Paul gives us here if you read it carefully. And that, here's the first one. The parents, being present is how we succeed. Not by curfews and demands. Being present in the life of our kids is how we succeed as parents. And I think that's the implication that Paul is saying here about parents, that we're actually going to instruct them and teach them and love them and be there. Parents, both moms and dads. We got to be present in the life of our kids. It's not just about making sure that they don't stay out too late or that they make their beds and do those. Those are all good things, but it's about being present. And let me stop right here. If you're feeling guilty about the fact that you haven't been very present in your kids' lives, I get it. 11 years ago, I got on the wrong side of my schedule here as your pastor. And I was working too hard. I was working too many hours. I mean, God was doing amazing things, and I was really, really just overwhelmed in many ways. And my wife was saying to me, you gotta slow down. You gotta be present more with our family. And I didn't listen right away. And I wasn't present for one of my sons. And I'm paying that bill today. But I want you to know that she was right, and I did make the change. And I want you to know it's never too late, dads, moms, church. It's never too late. And I'm spending a lot of time with one of my sons who I felt it was my fault because I wasn't present for him in that season of life. It's my fault. And so I share this with you as a principle because I want to learn this with you. Being present is how we succeed. Secondly, here's the principle for parents. It's a team sport. It's a team sport. It's not like dad goes to work and mom stays home. Or mom goes to work and dad stays home, because we have that. It's about the fact that both of us should be involved. Some of us are working, both of you, moms and dads are working. And so it's a team sport. That's why in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, it says, Proverbs, again, being a pretty good manual if you want to learn some parenting principles. Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Would you agree with me that Solomon there is implying that it's a team sport? Would you agree with that? That's what he's implying there in Proverbs chapter 1, that fathers and mothers are involved, and the church makes up the difference. That's what he's saying there. Number three, here's the instruction for parents. That we need to instruct our kids in making good decisions. Parenting in many ways can be boiled down to making good decisions as we help them navigate moving towards yeses in their life. See, our culture would say kids are basically good. Our culture would say that we need to keep them safe from all things. Our culture says that if you're a parent, you shouldn't try to convince your kids beyond what they want or what they believe or what they need. I think that's probably why we're in the trouble we're in many ways. See, the Bible says that we need to instruct our kids in helping them making good decisions. And here's why. Follow my logic. Here's why. If there's no expectations, if God has no expectations for us, then there's no brokenness. Because if there's no expectations, there's no measurement, there's no sense that this is what God wants for us or this is what, as parents, is right for our kids, then there can be no brokenness. Would you agree with that logic? And if there's no brokenness, then there's no need for grace. And if there's no grace, then what we have is chaos. Chaos. So parents, make sure we understand that the instruction that God gives, again, this is not really a manual on parenting, but there's some really good principles that I think that we can learn here, that we've got to create an environment where our homes allow us to imitate God for our children in order that we might obey and honor. It's a team sport. We need to instruct our kids in making decisions because we don't want chaos. Grace is so important, is it not? Because we're all broken. Because there's expectations and there's measurements that God wants for us as we chase yes in our life. Fourthly and lastly for parents, it says in verse 4, of the Lord. Some translations say in the Lord. It doesn't mean that if you're a parent who's a follower of Jesus, that this is for you. That's not what Paul is saying. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that if you're a follower of Jesus, the example of following Jesus is paramount to the view, to your children's view of God. Parents, you're paramount to your kids' view of God. That's why we need spiritual parents. That's why, church, we need godly parents in our church family, not just parents of moms and dads, but parents that, you know, help each other in their journey. And this becomes even sharper into focus when we talk to dads. But this is what Colossians says, because Paul said the same thing to the Colossian church. And so here's what he said in Colossians 3. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. In other words, God is elated by the fact that you and I help our children to understand that there's instructions, because those instructions come with the fact that there's brokenness in our homes. And in that brokenness, we can teach them grace. Disobedience in our homes gives us the opportunity to saturate our kids with love. Disobedience is not the end of love. It's the beginning of love. My wife waters our plants all the time. She loves plants and flowers. She waters them all the time because the roots need to be saturated in order for the plant to grow. Paul is saying the same thing as parents. We need to saturate our kids with love, so that when there is disobedience, they can understand in God, because that's the paramount view that we help them to understand there. Parents, we have a job to do. And then he gets to fathers. So let's look at fathers. There's one verse for fathers. It really helps us understanding our Heavenly Father. Chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Father, three principles that I think we can pull out of here if you look at it and just kind of see this. Number one, what Paul is saying here is that we need to model who you want your kids to be. Fathers, model who you want your kids to be. Didn't Jesus, in a perfect way, model for us? That's exactly what Paul is leaning in here. He's saying that because of Jesus' example for us, fathers, be that example to your children so that you can model how you want your kids. It's not good enough to say, do as I say, not as I do. See, that's just not good enough. We've made mistakes. I've made mistakes. But we need to help our kids to understand as we model along the way. Secondly, fathers, we need to exercise sensitivity, not just discipline. There needs to be discipline, but we need to exercise sensitivity. Sensitivity is so important for our kids when it comes to fathers. You see, the reason why Paul said this, to be honest with you, is because in the first century, fathers had no limits. Their children were property, a little bit above real estate, but not much. Their children were property, and fathers had full jurisdictions over their homes. They could treat their kids any way they wanted with no repercussions. So this is mind-blowing for the first century when Paul says, fathers, don't provoke your kids to anger. And there's a spiritual lesson here for us as well. God exercises sensitivity, not just discipline. Would you agree with that? Aren't you glad about that? And we model that in our homes. Thirdly and lastly, fathers, if you're a father, listen up. This is really important. Fathers, take responsibility of your children's spiritual growth. Ladies, encourage the men that you know who are fathers to take responsibility for your children's, for the children's spiritual growth. That's why, men, we need you involved in church. We need you in our children's ministry. We need you with our students. We need you mentoring younger men, because it's so important. We need to take responsibility, men. Did you know that according to the survey, Lifeway Research tells us that if a man is following in his life as a follower of Jesus and living out his faith day to day, living out his faith, not perfectly, living out his faith day to day, and he is a father, the research says that 93% of homes in America today, that everybody in that home would be following after Jesus. Everybody would be following Jesus. If father takes responsibility and lives out his faith, 93% of families and homes today would have everybody in that home following Jesus. That's an amazing statistic, because God designed for fathers to be involved just like a heavenly father is involved. Okay, here's a quiz for you. Turn to the person next to you if you want, if you came with somebody. If you didn't, that's okay. Turn to somebody. What is the third highest attended weekend in the course of a year? I think you probably know the first two, right? Christmas and Easter. Easter is actually number one. So Easter and Christmas. What's number three? Turn to the person next to you and see it online. You can chat it and write it there if you want real quick. We don't have much, just turn to the person next to you and see if you can figure out. What's the third highest attended weekend in church? All right, any guesses, Fairhaven? You got it. Mother's Day is number three. All right, so this is going to be really easy now, all right? Turn to the person next to you and tell them, what's the lowest attended Sunday? You got it. Father's Day. I want to put a challenge out to our fathers, okay? Father's Day is coming up. I'm going to start a brand new series on that day, and the message is entitled The Way to Be a Man That God Wants, okay? On Father's Day, let's shatter that. Because, you see, the lowest attended Sunday in all the statistics out there is Father's Day. It's less than Memorial Day coming up, or Labor Day. It's amazing. Church, let's shatter that and take responsibility. I'll end with this. Our homes, however you describe home, our homes are the laboratories to discover how to live like Jesus. Would you agree, church? That's what Paul is saying. Paul is really not talking to children, parents, and fathers. He's saying that our homes is the best place to live out our faith so that the world out there knows there's something uniquely different because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Would you bow with me? And if you know a family that's struggling, or if you know somebody who's trying to adopt, or you know a couple that's struggling, or you know some couple that's trying to have kids, would you just pray for them silently and quietly and lift them up? Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a family member. Father, I pray that you'd hear our prayer right now as we pray for families. Lord, some of us have prodigal children, and you've told us to love and pray. Lord, some of our couples are struggling having kids. We've got marriages that are struggling. We've got singles who may feel lonely and feel like they're the odd man out. They're not. And I pray that you would encourage all of us today as we read these four verses, Lord, that are so simple and yet so profound about the fact that our families are these laboratories. Help us, we pray. Guide us. Help us to leave here today and in all that we do, that we might imitate God in all that we do and say, we pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.